How to best contact your elected officials. Tips from those who know. There are a lot of people right now trying to get in touch with their U.S. senator or representative. Senator Susan Collins' phone lines have been jammed for days on end, especially in the stretch leading up to the confirmation vote for Education Secretary Betsy DeVos. Senator Angus King says he is receiving almost 10 times as many calls as usual. From a typical average of about 2,500 messages per week from people in Maine to 20,000 last week. If you are one of those seeking to influence your elected representative in Washington, you might be wondering, what is the most effective way to do so? I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we will learn from people who know. They've been on the receiving end of those calls and emails for Democratic and Republican office holders. Maine Calling is next, but first, this news update. From the Maine Public Radio studios, I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. Elected officials are in the spotlight these days, and they are being barraged by Maine citizens trying to call or write to make their opinions known. You may be one of them. Perhaps you've called your U.S. senator, gone to a protest, or signed a petition. Does any of this actually reach the ears of our elected officials? How can one individual make a difference in today's political climate? That's our conversation today. In the studio with me, Willie Rich. He was longtime press secretary for U.S. Representative Shelley Pingree, Maine's 1st Congressional District Representative. He's now the campaign manager for Food Policy Action. And joining me on the line, Cheryl Lehman. She was the longtime regional representative to former U.S. Senator Olympia Snowe and former Portland City Councilor and Portland Mayor. As always, we want to hear from you. Have you tried to contact your legislature? Do you have questions about making your voice heard? Our phone number, and this is a different phone number than the Super Thursday phone number. Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainpublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, and post to the Maine or post the Maine Calling Facebook page. Thank you both for joining us. Cheryl, can you hear us?
Yeah, actually.
Oh, terrific. Well, Cheryl Lehman is not here in the snowstorm with us.
Don't tell them where I am.
Somewhere a little sunnier, but I'm glad you can join us by phone. Why don't I just start by, and I'll start with you, Willie, by just asking the general question, which is, what is the best way? You know, I have seen all over Facebook and other social media, call is better than email. Email is better than letter. Is that true? Does it matter?
I think what really matters the most is what you say, is that your communication to a member of Congress is sincere and is real and tells a personal story. So I think that's really what people should keep in mind as the number one rule when trying to contact your member of Congress. And then secondly, how are you going to get that message through? And, you know, you mentioned it could be a letter, it could be email, it could be a phone call. And I think it's important to understand what happens to communications when they go into the office of a member of Congress. A member gets thousands, maybe tens of thousands of communications, emails, phone calls, letters per month. There's no way that member of Congress is going to read every one of them. But every one of them is recorded. It's recorded in a system, in a database, and they're tabulated. So senior staff in the office and the member of Congress knows that they got a certain number of emails or a certain number of phone calls or a certain number of letters on a particular issue in favor or opposed. And they look at those very carefully. So the letters and the calls and the emails do matter. So in trying to distinguish between which channel you want to use, I don't think, and Cheryl, jump in here and tell me if you've had a different experience, but I think these days there's not a lot of difference between a letter and an email. Sure, the email does have to get opened and read by somebody, but it's typically an intern or some staff member who might read it and enter that into the database. So I wouldn't distinguish much between the two of those. When that member of Congress is looking at that report about how many communications they got on various issues, I don't think most of them will distinguish too much between emails and phone calls. But one thing that is different.
That would be correct.
You agree that they're all.
We did the same thing. And whether you call D.C. or the state office, it all gets received and cataloged in the same way, whether it's by phone call, letter, or email.
Cheryl, are you cataloging?
Actually, Senator Snow was, she was adamant that even if there were a high volume of calls, that every single call be logged into the computer. She wanted to know what people were saying, and she appreciated people weighing in on the issues and would often say, you just never know. A personal story or something might click off something else with regards to providing information on a possible amendment to legislation or creating new legislation that would be helpful to Maine people. As she always said, to some of her best ideas came from her constituents. So I would just emphasize the fact that it really is important to make that contact, every contact. Is important to your elected officials. The only thing I would suggest, given some of the hot button issues, is that be mindful that these are staff assistants and volunteers in the office. And they're taking your calls, and they're trained to be very patient in spite of, you know, some of the emotion that goes along with issues. Be respectful. Your comment's going to get registered either way. And Willie is right in that if you can put something personal to it as opposed to a script that somebody has sent out and you're reading it, that just makes it a little bit more personal, although it certainly all gets addressed.
Well, it's interesting because it sounds to me as though even though the personal message might be the one that actually gets through to the representative, especially if he or she is looking for something to incorporate into a speech or talk about, a flood of form letters, 10 form letters is 10 form letters. And if you're tallying up how many come in, they go into the tally.
Well, I think, and I've talked to some other offices about this too. So in addition to my own experience when I worked for Congresswoman Pingree, I do think that form letters and form emails and calls that are generated by an advocacy group, some offices do discount those. They don't consider them to be as quite as valuable. So I think if you are – it's great that advocacy groups are trying to get people to call members of Congress. And if you're going to do that, if you go that route, try to take the script they give you and put it into your own words. One thing I'll add about phone calls,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, because we took all – and I know you did too. It doesn't matter. If you make contact with the senator's office, it gets recorded and it gets paid attention to. Typically, Willie, I'm not sure how you did it in your office, but if you're given the volume sometimes and everybody gets a response, you know, it's broken down categorically and the senators, at least the senators that I'm familiar with, would give you a written response. And I think everybody pretty much handles it that way, so that there would be an acknowledgement to your phone call or your email.
Cheryl, let me ask you this. I know that Senator Collins believes that about 90% of the calls and emails that have been coming into her office recently are from people out of state. How did Senator Snow keep track of which were in-state constituents and which were out of state, and how did you weight those?
They all get weighted pretty much the same, but clearly if you're a Maine resident, it makes more sense that that's going to get paid attention to.
Yeah, I would highly
have the same experience. Yeah,
I would really urge people to, if you're calling your member of Congress, that is your House member or your senator, make sure you let them know that you live in their district, because that does make a big difference. And one thing I'll add about phone calls is, you know, Cheryl and I have described this kind of systems, database systems used to manage all this incoming communication. But the people in these congressional offices are human beings. And when the phones are ringing off the hook and they can't do anything else because all they're doing is answering the phones, or as has happened recently, the phone systems have just shut down in some offices.
Yeah,
it's hard to ignore that. So there are times when the volume of phone calls is so great that I think those calls have an outsized impact to their number, because the staff and the members of Congress are just like, wow, that people are really worked up about this.
Because it's Super Thursday, we're going to take a Cheryl, we're going to have to take a break because it's Super Thursday.
Okay.
But when we come back, I really want you all to share stories of maybe one time where something that a constituent said or emailed or called made a difference and maybe even changed a vote. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back.
And this is Maine Public Radio. I'm Nora Flaherty here with Scott Marshallton today on this snowy Super Thursday. Ask you to come through for your public radio station. The number to call, 800-866-1475. Online, it's mainepublic.org. Scott, we are about 15 minutes into the hour. Where are we trying to get this hour?
We are hoping to, we've got four more minutes to pledge, 1-800-866-1475, mainepublic.org. We hope to raise at least, we've got $67,000 left to raise today.
Yep.
150 new donors will be matching gifts later today as well, like we were all morning. And we encourage you to call and to support shows like Maine Calling and Jennifer Rooks, who's frankly one of the best journalists out there, in my humble opinion.
I'm a fan as well. You know, we are trying to get this hour to, we have about $7,000 more that we want to raise this hour to get us under $60,000. We can totally do this. It's absolutely something that we can get done if people call in right now. If you call in right now or give right now at mainepublic.org, we can get to that goal. It's by making these little teeny goals throughout the day that we get to the big goal that we need to reach. The number is 800-866-1475. Online, it's mainepublic.org. It really only takes about a minute.
It takes less than a minute. And if you're a teacher, maybe, out there who's had the day off today or has been home or has left school early, we've got the best, in my opinion, education reporting in the state, with our journalist Robbie Feinberg, who's supported by the Nellie Mae Foundation.
Yeah.
And David Boardman, who's set up this amazing major education project. And we're telling stories that are not told. We're sharing successes of educators across the state. And that, there's nothing more important than that. For us who have children, for us who have been in the system, who want to know what's going on in our state education-wise, we're telling those stories. And that's why I tune in to Maine Public Radio each and every day.
You know, I listen to public radio no matter where I am. But since I have been in Maine in the last couple of years, I have seen people who are public radio listeners here in Maine, public radio members, are engaged in a way that I have never seen before. It's remarkable. It's the same with politics. Maine has a very high voter turnout rate. It's just very impressive to me. And I think that's because people in Maine, you know, not to toot our own horns here, but people in Maine are very engaged in their world.
Absolutely.
I really respect that. And I think that, you know, it means you value public radio, what we do here, the information that we give you, the political information in particular. And the number to call to support that is 800-866-1475. You can give online at mainepublic.org.
Nora, we have an incredibly well-educated citizenry that really look to us to provide stories for them, debates over the course of political season. I had people use the words trustworthy, well-researched, measured, in-depth for our news reporting. And that's important for us to hear that from our listeners and from our donors, that we're making a difference for them. They're coming to us to research the facts of either politics or whatever the news story is, and then to make their decision how they'll either vote or what they'll form as an opinion on whatever topic that they're looking to research. So 1-800-866-1475 or mainepublic.org. Show your support for that reporting that we do each and every day.
You know, and listening to Maine Calling pretty much every day, as I think I said I do, and I actually do listen pretty much every day. I'm a pretty big Jen fan, pretty big Keith fan, but I'm also a pretty big fan of what the show's been doing in this political season. You know, the curse about living in interesting times. I think we're living in interesting times right now, and that means you need good political reporting. You need good reporting as well on cultural things, because you don't always want politics. Maine Calling really is doing that. The show expanded to 5 days a week several months ago, and it's been remarkably good, I think, this whole political season, and continues to be. That's something that I think is really important for my own engagement as a citizen, not to get too heavy, but it's true. If you think it's important too, the number is 1-800-866-1475. The place to go online is mainepublic.org. We're going to go back to Maine Calling in just a moment, but I do want to give you that information one more time. The number, again, 800-866-1475, mainepublic.org. That's supporting Maine Calling. That's supporting All Things Considered, Maine Things Considered, Morning Edition, Here and Now, and the weekend programs that we all enjoy. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the program, what works when you're trying to reach your legislators and be an active citizen? Joining me today, Cheryl Lehman, who is longtime regional representative to former U.S. Senator Olympia Snow and former Portland mayor as well. Willie Rich is here, too. He's longtime press secretary to Representative Shelley Pingree. He left that job very recently, and now he's the campaign manager for Food Policy Action. We invite you to join the conversation. Call 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. Cheryl, I'll ask you the question I said I was going to during the break. Can you think of a time that Senator Snow was on the fence about an issue or had not decided about an issue and that a constituent call or email or visit made the difference?
I'm sitting here trying to think of a specific example. She was in the House and the Senate for many years, and she always, from what I saw personally, I can't think of an exact example right this moment, but clearly factored into her decision-making all aspects of an issue. And I used to do the same thing on the city council and found that you needed to have an open mind about all sides of an issue, which kind of helped you hone in on what you felt would be in the best interest, in my case, for the city of Portland, in her case, in the for the residents and constituents of hers for the state of Maine. And I saw her do that repeatedly. She never came out of the gate too fast ever on very serious issues. She was very methodical about her thought process and her deliberations that brought her to a particular viewpoint on any issue. And it was actually quite amazing to watch how she processed and went through her decision-making process to land on one side or the other of an issue.
What about for Shelley, Willie?
You know, I think that the most profound example I can think of was around kind of a very grim issue, the issue of sexual assault in the military. And I remember sitting in the office with Shelley when a few veterans who had been survivors or who were survivors of sexual assault in the military came in and sat in the office and told their stories. And it was a very powerful moment. Now, of course, that is not an issue that any member of Congress is going to be on the wrong side of. There's only one right side to that issue. So it's not as though it swung Shelley's vote. But it sort of illustrated in very profound terms for her the seriousness and the significance of this problem. And she has become a national leader on this issue. And now people from all over the country on a regular basis will call her office asking for help with benefits having to do with their PTSD that came from sexual assault in the military. And she's held the military to task on this issue. So that's an example where the input from constituents had a real impact on what she did as a member of Congress.
I'm going to read two similar
examples.
Yeah.
That's a great example because I know all of the Maine representatives hold regular office meetings with individual constituents or groups that are representing, whether it be youth diabetes or some Alzheimer's, whatever the issue happened to be. And that's powerful because that's where they collect an unbelievable amount of information on one issue or another. And I can speak very personally to it because when I was diagnosed with breast cancer, I have to tell you, I saw Senator Snow kick into overdrive and put me in touch with people who were involved at a national level with breast cancer and pointed me in directions where I could get resources. And then she went on and became, because her own mother died of breast cancer. So she became an advocate to making sure that women got funding for mammograms and for Medicare for different things related to breast cancer and was a leader. But again, that's an example of oh, you know, if she saw something, she went after it and made sure that it got taken care of and happened.
We have two
doing that on numerous occasions.
We have two emails that are related. This one's from Tanis in Blue Hill, and I'm going to read part of it. I would like to know if the communications are tallied on both sides of an issue. Is it known how many people contacted our elected officials urging them to vote both for and against? And if so, are those numbers part of the public record, and where can one find them? Do you know, Willie, is that part of the public record?
Of how many people voted for and against? I've never,
Communicated to a representative or to a senator. And the related email is from Elizabeth. Is there a way to know if our opinions matter, whether it's call, email, or letter?
Yeah.
Will it even sway a way a legislator will vote? And I'm guessing, Cheryl, that the answer is depends on the issue.
I would say emphatically to the second question, yes. Yes, regardless of whether you're for or against, it all matters. As far as tallies go, we never kept tallies. The senator never wanted us to minimize the importance of one call versus other or multiple calls and make it a matter of putting your finger up in the air and seeing which way the wind's blowing. All of them were important to her. And so it all recorded into the system and all went down to Washington in the same manner.
And look, I mean, members of Congress have some firmly held convictions on major issues, and you're probably not going to change their mind on issues that they run on and that are key to who they really are. But it does, they do notice when a lot of people call on a particular issue, and there's probably plenty of them where you can sway a member of Congress one way or another. And, you know, Cheryl mentioned the office hours. I mean, in-person communication with a member of Congress or her or his staff is pretty powerful. Again, remember, we're talking about human beings here. And if I said to you, Jennifer, well, there's five listeners that I talk to who really want you to have Erwin Grass on every Wednesday afternoon to talk about the New York Mets, you'd be like, oh, yeah, okay. But then if five of them showed up and or stopped you at Whole Foods or Hannaford and said the same things to you face-to-face, you might start thinking that maybe that's a good idea for Wednesday afternoons just because you're human and that human interaction is more powerful than just reading a report.
Let me ask you this.
But be patient. Scheduling a representative or any congressional person for those types of sit-downs do take time. And I know that's a frustration that we dealt with constantly with people who would want a one-on-one. And quite often you would sign them up, and that was also part of my job with a meeting for the appropriate staff. Because when you've got a state with over a million people in it, you can't meet with everybody. And so it's important to understand that as well. But the message still gets to the senator. And so it's important to have that conversation, but understand that they are in Washington working a lot. So difficult to get those things scheduled. But
let me ask you this. We've heard so much about how many calls offices are getting right now, especially with president's cabinet appointments. Senator King says usually he gets about 2,500 correspondences a week. Last week, 20,000. How does that affect the staff? I mean, Willie, you've been talking to people who are still on the Hill. At some point, do they just kind of get overwhelmed and short circuit and or are they still trying to take it all in and keep the tally going?
Yeah, you know, I think let me say this about and I can speak objectively now that I am no longer a congressional employee. But let me say this about staff in congressional offices. They are some of the hardest working and most dedicated people that I have ever met. And they care deeply about what they're doing, and they care deeply about what their constituents, their neighbors in many cases, have to say. So, sure. I mean, look, when when the fifth person in a row calls to be angry about something that the member of Congress said or did, sure. I mean, maybe that can get a little discouraging at times. But for the most part, these guys are, you know, they I've been talking to my former colleagues over in Shelley's office, and they're coming in early and they're staying late, and the phone's ringing all day long, and you can tell in their voice that there's some excitement about it. It's more work for them, but there's some excitement about how engaged the public is right now. I mean, you know, lots of my friends wring our hands. We wring our hands about the state of politics these days. But the truth is, never in my lifetime have people been this engaged in the political process. And I think that's a good thing.
Well, I would agree. And having worked the phones myself, when the office gets overwhelmed, I can appreciate the professionalism and the courtesy and the mannerism that each and every one of our staff people make sure they incorporate when they're taking these phone calls, in spite of the emotional level of a particular issue. They do stay late and they put in the time. They're the front line. They are the front line for our elected officials, and they take that very seriously because their performance and their attitudes is reflected of themselves, but reflective of the person that they represent as well. And I just know with Senator Snow, and I think I could speak for the others as well, we just had phenomenal staff.
Well,
and volunteers, interns, volunteers, phenomenal people.
Important to keep in mind if you're calling. We do have to take another break for Super Thursday. Please stay with us. This is.
And I'm Nora Flaherty, joined here in our phone room by Scott Marshallden. The number to call to become a member, to renew your membership, to give an additional gift, to just say hi, is 1-800-866-1475. Online, we're mainpublic.org. We are here one day. If you've been listening for a while, you're familiar with how we do this thing. We have a one-day membership drive. We call it Super Thursday. It's amazing. It's pretty unique in the country. We're only here for one day, asking you to do your part for your public radio station, and then we go away for a while. That's a really wonderful thing. You may remember drives of yore being quite long.
10-day drives.
Yeah, I've been in a 10-day drive. It's not pretty, I'll tell you, for anybody. We just have the one-day drive, but that means that you need to do your part, too. It's not a thing where you can just sort of sit back and think, oh, gosh, it's nice that they have a one-day drive. No, we need you to come forward right now, urgently, and do your part for your public radio station. The number is 800-866-1475. Online, we are mainpublic.org.
Yeah, give us a call now. This is your time, 1-800-866-1475, or go online at mainpublic.org. Nora, I'd be remiss as the chief development officer if I didn't mention our society, our Beacon Society.
I wouldn't want you to be
giving.
Remiss.
No, that would be shameful in a day like today where we're asking donors to come forward. And if you're a donor who can do $100 a month or $1,200 or even more a year, and you have the wherewithal to do that, now is the time to make that call and to support public radio in Maine and to support public broadcasting. Now is a good time to do it. Across our country, we are engaged in debate, and I think we hope at Maine Public that we're providing you with the quality, trustworthy journalism that you need to make your decisions and to be informed. So 1-800-866-1475 at mainpublic.org. Again, if you can get a $1,200 or more gift for us, we would appreciate that. And it supports your neighborhood, your community. We are your public broadcasting station.
Absolutely. And like any other gift that you would make to a not-for-profit organization, if you can afford, if you can make it happen at the $100 a month level, that means you're also doing the part of people who can't make that happen, who don't have the financial wherewithal to give to Maine Public Radio. You're paying it forward, as it were, for those people. And the number to call to do that, because you are a charitable person, is 800-866-1475. Online, it's mainpublic.org.
Right, and if you can't make a gift of that size, we have most of our donors' average gift is $120 a year.
Mm-hmm.
And we have over 46,000 or right under 46,000 donors or households in Maine that support public broadcasting, not only in Maine, New Hampshire, Atlantic Canada, and friends across the country.
Yeah, absolutely.
That support their public broadcasting station. Matter of fact, earlier today, I took a call from a friend of mine who said, Scott, I'm going to make my first gift to Maine Public.
Oh.
And he did a $10 gift a month. He's an Evergreen member.
Mm-hmm.
And I promised to give him a Maine Public coffee mug. So I'm going to have to hand deliver that next time I see. But 1-800-866-1475. mainpublic.org.
It's also worth mentioning, if you do become an Evergreen friend of Maine Public, that you will get our passport benefit. What is that? What's passport? We all know, of course,
amazing.
Passport allows you to leave the country and come back in as you please, but it's also a service that Maine Public gives to its members. You can go onto our website, mainepublic.org, and you know you can watch a lot of stuff online anyway, on demand. Passport is a whole bunch of other stuff you don't get access to unless you're a monthly member. It's definitely worth checking out, and it's definitely, I will tell you, worth doing.
It's got the full Victoria season on there right now.
There you go, yeah.
For those who want to watch that.
Yeah, the number to call for that one is 800-866-1475, online, mainepublic.org. I noticed they also have Wolf Hall. I think there's some extra Downton Abbey on there. It's good stuff. Either way, give us a call. Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks, and you're listening to Maine Calling today on the program, Making Your Voice Heard on the Political Issues of the Day. With me today, Willie Rich. He was Representative Shelley Pingree's press secretary for 8 years, and he is campaign manager for Food Policy Action. And joining me on the line, Cheryl Lehman. She served as regional representative to former Senator Olympia Snowe for a number of years. She's also been on the Portland City Council and twice was Portland mayor. Join our conversation. Give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. We're going to go to Jessica calling from Brunswick. Hi, Jessica. Go ahead.
Hi, great topic, and it means so much the way things are today. I know I'm not the only person that has gotten really choked up with all the news, and, you know, it's sort of an upheaval. And so I appreciate the topic. The other thing I wanted to say is that with the Jeff Sessions nomination, you know, I decided, okay, I'm going to call, and because I had lived in Southwest Virginia from 1977 for 35 years. So I really knew the environment, so it touched me very deeply. So I called 207-622-8414 for Senator Collins, and then I called Angus King. The experience of calling, as far as your listeners go, you know, reading all the news is one thing, but when you start to actually vocalize, I was so choked up when I made the call that I wanted my voice heard. It was quite an experience. But,
Jessica, is this the first time in your life that you've picked up the phone and made a call?
Yes. So, I mean, it was just really moving for me. I've done other things in terms of being active in politics, but I haven't done that. So then I just wanted to mention that I was looking for other phone numbers, you know, for senators. So I found a site which was, it's like senate.gov, and it's a plain page with a full list of each name, state, phone number, and email. So then I copied it and, you know, just made the name and the phone number for each person. So I actually have a sheet that I can call if I want to call somebody else. And of course, I wanted to call Mitch McConnell after Elizabeth Warren was silenced. There's a lot of numbers.
Like, well, Jessica, we're running out of time, so I want to make sure I get to some other calls, but I really appreciate yours. And I think the message from you is that if you're on the fence, if you maybe haven't ever called a U.S. representative or senator, you would say, do it, right?
Oh, it's so moving. So that's great. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you.
I mean, if Jessica can do it, so can you, right? She sounds like she's been activated. She's been empowered as a constituent. And and it sounds like she's not going to stop. That's a great story.
Thanks for your call, Jessica. We'll go to Wallengrass and Jack. Hi, Jack. Go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. I tried calling, I tried sending emails to the various representatives.
Jack, are you on a speakerphone?
Yes, I guess I am.
If you could pick up your receiver, that'd be great. Go ahead.
Okay, how's that better?
Yes.
I tried calling or sending emails to my various senators and without any difficulty. However, when I tried to contact the representative from Southern Maine, I was not unable to use the government website to address it. It wouldn't even allow me to send him a message, even though I know he doesn't represent me up in the county, but it does frustrate me that I had to pick up the phone and physically call his office and tell him I thought they were doing a good job.
Jack, who are you trying to reach? Because the first district congressperson is Shelley Pingree.
Yeah, I couldn't reach your office. I had to pick up the phone and call.
So, Jack, I can certainly understand. Sure, I understand your frustration, but I mean, there are actually pretty strict rules in Congress that members of Congress are only supposed to respond to their own constituents. The idea is that they shouldn't be using government money, taxpayer money, to communicate with people outside their district. There are some exceptions to that, and I think it may even be a rule that congressional websites, which is where you went, have a test. You probably had to put your zip code in.
Yeah,
and I think those are congressional rules that say, you know, that you can't be emailing it if you don't the member if you don't live in the district, but obviously you found a way around it by picking the phone up. So good for you.
Thanks so much for your call, Jack. Great question. We have an email from Kelsey. I've thought so much about Hillary Clinton lately, and that people didn't necessarily show up to help her get elected with the same passionate, effective way that they are now communicating with their elected officials.
That's true.
Can the panelists speak to the relative power of getting involved on the front end of an election, cultivating quality candidates for local office, helping them get on the ballot, and supporting those with whom you agree for election and reelection? To my mind, that is a much more effective way to ensure one's voice is heard. Cheryl, would you agree with Kelsey?
I think if I understand what she's saying, any means of getting involved is going to be effective. So I guess yes. I know Senator Snow, the one thing she didn't do, and I don't do either, is if there's a primary, you wait until the primary results are in before you get on anybody's campaign. But other than that, it pretty much depends on who is out there running, and it's always important.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think maybe what the listener is asking is do you think more people should get involved in politics themselves instead of just contacting a member of Congress? And if that's what she was saying, I think Cheryl and I probably both agree that that's a great opportunity. There are programs for women in this state, Emerge, help Democratic women who have never thought of running for office before get involved. And I think, Cheryl, I think there's something that the Republican Party runs to encourage women to get involved as well.
I can speak from personal experience. I absolutely get involved. Maybe I didn't quite understand the comment. When I ran many, many years ago, my first run at an election was a school board seat. And my friends and I, we knew nothing about campaigning, but we were very passionate. You have to have passion. And we put it all together and really, unbeknownst to us, ran a grassroots campaign. Mm. Although I lost the first time out by 35 votes, I came back and ran again. So don't get discouraged if you lose. Do it again. If you are very passionate about, and at the time I was passionate about the schools, go ahead and do it. We need people to be taking an interest in any of those issues on a local level.
You know what's interesting, Jennifer, is that a Washington reporter said to me the other day that he has heard people use the phrase, "I've never done this before," frequently lately. And he said the last time he heard a lot of people using that phrase was in 2009 during kind of the birth and the advent of the Tea Party. So he said this instead of on the right, now on the left, there are people who are saying, "I've never done this before," to talk about contacting a member of Congress or getting involved in a protest or deciding to run for office. So I do think we're at this time where people who had never thought of themselves as politicians or candidates or activists are deciding that it's time to get off the sidelines.
Yeah, an awful lot of that happened before the election.
Yeah.
And so, again, obviously, whether you agree or disagree with the results, it does make a difference.
Let me ask you both this very briefly. Willie mentioned protest. Cheryl, do protests make a difference? Do politicians, did they look out at the Women's March and say, wow, that's going to change my mind?
That's free speech. It's free speech, and you pay attention to that as much as you do the phone call. It sends a very important message when you can have that many people, which started from a small Facebook initiative. It needs to be paid attention to.
And Willie, you're nodding. You agree.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when 10,000 people walked down Congress Street 2 weeks ago, I got to think that every elected official in Maine noticed that.
Yeah.
Okay. A quick question before we go to a break. An email from Pat. Are comments and concerns from people registered to different political party than the elected official taken as seriously as those from the same political party?
Simple answer, absolutely.
Yeah, so I'm sorry, the question was if...
So if a Republican calls Shelley Pringer's office, does she care as much as if a Democrat calls?
Well, I think you almost never know. I mean, you never, ever ask about party affiliation. You know, that just doesn't come up. So, absolutely.
Some people will, indicate that when they call in, and it really doesn't make any difference.
All right.
It's still a constituent of whoever is elected.
We have to take one more break. When we return, more of your comments and questions. Please stay with us.
Yeah, I heard it on the radio.
Be careful.
Be careful going home.
I'm Nora Flaherty with Scott Marshallton here on Maine Public Radio, asking you for your help on Super Thursday. The number to call is 1-800-866-1475. You can give online at mainpublic.org. We want to thank a few people who have been kind enough to call in. I want to thank Dennis in Wayne.
Yes, and from South Portland, Stephanie Bufar. Thank you, Stephanie, for your support.
And B in Fairfield.
And Christina from Portland. Thank you, Christina.
And Molly in Wiscasset.
And Katrina from Cape Elizabeth.
And Jerome in Portland.
We should have, like, when we do these names, how much snow they have.
Oh, yeah, that would be
in
good.
These areas. I think that would add a little twist
when,
to
when
this.
You call in now, when you call in to give your support to Maine Public Radio, you tell us how many inches of snow you have on the ground, and we will happily let the world know. It actually will really help us with our weather gathering efforts. So, yeah, please do that.
So, Paul up in Rockland. Thank you, Paul.
Yeah, and thank you, Christine in Portland and Robert in Old Orchard Beach. Thank you all so much for your support of Maine Public Radio. Again, the way to support your public radio station today is to give us a call at 800-866-1475 or go online at mainpublic.org.
And you know, the thing about reading some of these thanking these donors on air is not only that we get to thank them, which is a pleasure of ours, but it shares the richness of where people are calling from, where they're listening. All over the state. I've got a donor here from Lower Brighton, New Brunswick, Gerald, who's donated, is an annual donor for us. And it's folks across the state and across even the country, frankly, that support public broadcasting. They may be here in the summer. They're visitors. They go away, but they don't go away from us. They listen, they stream, they have our app, and they call in during pledge drives. 1-800-866-1475 or mainpublic.org. Do your part to support public broadcasting in this state.
Now, this is our one-day membership drive, which is great because we'll pretty much not be here more than one day. That's very rare in public radio stations, and we really, really, really like it here. We want to keep doing it forever and ever, but we need your help to do that. The number to call is 800-866-1475, mainpublic.org. Now is the time. Today is the day when we ask you to ask yourself, how do you use Maine Public Radio? Are you listening to it all day today? Are you having a snow day, and is the radio just on in the background as you're doing your chores? Do you listen to our podcast? Do you stream it on the internet when you're at work? Just take a moment, think about those things, and think, well, is that worth my financial support? If the answer is yes, and I think it might be, then you should think about how much you'd like to give, how much you can give. We'll happily take any amount. Go online at mainpublic.org or give us a call at 800-866-1475. Tell us how many inches of snow you have on the ground and give to your public radio station.
And if you're an Evergreen donor, you're giving monthly, and we thank you for that. Maybe now is the time to increase that gift. Mm-hmm. $4, $5, $10, whatever you can do, whatever is comfortable for you. That helps us immensely. Now more than ever, it's a time to support public broadcasting in this state for our journalists, for Maine Calling, for some of the amazing things that we're doing. We've mentioned some of the member benefits. Passport, Nora mentioned before. We've got a member card that's amazing. Across the state, we've had people sign up just to utilize the member card. And we had a Facebook post the other day. The young woman who posted sadly said her car needed some work, but that Lee Auto Malls came through and got a discount. She got an amazing discount of over $150 just because she's a member of public broadcasting. And Adam Lee is a trustee of ours, also an underwriter, does his part to support public broadcasting in our state, and we appreciate that. So member card, passport, all these benefits that you get, and it feels good, frankly.
Yeah, it does feel good.
And Nora, as you know, those who give live longer.
Of course.
So 1-800-866-1475. Go online at mainpublic.org.
Again, the number to call, 1-800-866-1475. Online at mainpublic.org. If you don't get through right away on the phone, just keep trying. But also online, mainpublic.org, it is incredibly easy to give, and it's very, very fast. The thing is that you give. If you feel like Maine Public Radio is something that you are using every day or once a week, or if you listen to our podcasts, just think about that. Think, wow, I could probably support that. I don't have to do it, but I'm going to because it's the right thing to do. 800-866-1475, and thank you.
And welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling today on the program, How to Make Your Opinion Heard. With me today, Cheryl Lehman, who is longtime regional representative to former U.S. Senator Olympia Snowe, and Willie Rich, longtime press secretary to Representative Shelley Pingree.
You know, Jennifer, you keep describing Cheryl and I as longtime.
You're not beginners at this.
Cheryl, doesn't it make you feel old?
You're old, Rich.
No.
You are old.
And that other voice you hear is our U.S. Senator Angus King.
Do you want to tell
Senator King what you just did on the air?
Yeah, I hope you don't mind, Senator, but I thought people said what's the best way to contact your member of Congress? So I was just giving out your cell phone.
Oh, yeah, good. Thank you.
Sure. You're welcome.
Why should anybody not have that?
Senator King, thanks so much for joining us. And I understand you answered some phone calls yesterday in your office.
I sure did, and Mary's done it the last couple of days. We have been deluged. The normal number of contacts we have in a week is about 500. We've had 20,000 calls and emails from Maine in the last week, almost entirely on the cabinet nominees, and it was so crazy here yesterday. I went out and jumped on the phones for, I don't know, 35 or 40 minutes, and it was absolutely nonstop. I mean, you'd answer one call, and another would come in, and it was kind of fun when people would say, I'd like to leave a message for Senator King, please. Ask him to do this or that, and I'd say, well, you don't have to leave a message because it's me, and some people, didn't believe it, and some people... One lady launched into every issue she ever had with the United States.
That's what you get.
That is a danger, by the way.
Yeah, she had me. And Mary has been at our office up in Augusta the last couple of days doing the same thing. It's kind of all hands on deck. But calling is certainly one of the very best ways because we keep track of all the calls and keep a tally of what people's positions are. And if they have issues, we try to get back to them.
Well, let me ask you this, Senator King, the $50,000 question, or probably more these days. Does it make a difference to you? Do you choose how you're going to vote based on how many calls you get, how many emails you get?
Well, that's a classic question. The answer is no, it doesn't determine it, because then if you didn't have the exercise of independent judgment and working on the data, then you would do all this by remote control and you wouldn't need representatives. But it certainly is an influence. I mean, my job is to represent Maine. And knowing how Maine people feel about particular issues is an important consideration. But it's part of it. Edmund Burke, I'll give you a little homework, Jennifer, a letter to the electors of Bristol. Edmund Burke answered this question: is a representative strictly a kind of messenger person, or are they supposed to use their independent judgment based upon the facts as they know it? And it's a combination, to tell you the truth.
So it's yes and no. You want people to call. You want people to contact you and let you know how they feel.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. That it's very valuable. And, I'm hired to represent Maine, so I need to know how Maine people feel. And we get emails, letters, calls, and if people want to be in touch, the best way is king.senate.gov, and it's got the phone numbers. We have regional offices. We have people in Maine and people down here. So absolutely, a big part of what we do is listening. Somebody said the key to leadership is eloquent listening. And that's what I try to do.
Well, Senator King, thanks so much for calling us and joining the show. And we want to note that you will be back on Maine Calling for the entire hour next Thursday. So thank
next
you for
Thursday,
that.
And I have a feeling I'm going to do some listening that day as well.
Thanks so much for calling in. I'm going to try to squeeze in one more call. Poor Susan has been waiting for a long time. Susan, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead.
Well, thank you very much. I just want to encourage people who have any children in their families to think about contacting our representatives and congresspeople. And I'll very quickly tell you what happened at Thanksgiving. I took some postcards to my family gathering and asked people if they wanted to write thank you notes to President Obama. And my grandson, who's 9, at first he was shy, but then he said he would. He wrote it out in his own handwriting, and he thanked the president, and he said he was especially thankful for the president's work on the environment. So about a month later, he got a letter back from the White House. We made sure on the postcard we put our return addresses. And he was incredibly excited. Mm. He said it was a first-class letter. He was very excited. And it was a form letter, but it responded to his concerns about the environment and had pictures of the first family.
Wow. Well, thank you. Thank you.
And the dogs. And so he said it inspired his heart. And my grandson said that. And I said, well, now you're a political activist and you can't even vote. So it made such an impression on him. I just want to encourage people who have kids to think about that for their own children, because I think this is really engaging him in the process now.
Well, Susan, that's a terrific final note to end this program. I want to thank you for your call. I want to thank Cheryl Lehman for joining us on today's program and Willie Rich for joining us on this program as well. Cheryl Lehman, I will say it again, longtime regional representative to former U.S.
Yeah.
Senator Olivia Snow and retired Portland City.
I'm very proud of it.
And also longtime Portland City Councilor and twice Portland Mayor Willie Rich as well. Longtime press secretary to U.S. Representative for Maine's 1st Congressional District Representative Shelley Pingree. And he is now the campaign manager for Food Policy Action. Jonathan Woodward ran the board today. Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn produced the show. You can always find our programs at MaineCalling.net. Tomorrow on the program, we're talking about food. Join me and our culinary experts for a conversation about foods of the season, from Valentine's sweets to favorite cold weather dishes. We have an all-star panel. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.